Let me just say another amazing performance from you, Rodrigo.
Thank you.
But this, the chemistry between you two, the story as a whole, this, it's magical. It is moving. It is spectacular.
Thank you. That's
Thank you very much.
What? Because everybody knows some incarnation of Ben-Hur, be it the 1959 Charlton Heston version, be it the 1925 Silent, or even New Wallace's 1880 book.
Mm-hmm.
How familiar were each of you with the various incarnations when you got the script, John and Keith's script, to consider for this particular film?
Ladies?
The question is, how familiar was I with the previous versions? I'd watched the 59 version. I knew the story, but I didn't... this was such a different story to me, and it's such a different angle on the 1880 novel by General Lew Wallace. So what I love is that the focus in this is on forgiveness, you know, as opposed to revenge. And so, yeah, I was drawn to, especially that the Esther character is more sort of has a stronger voice in this version than the 59 version. I appreciated that, and I was drawn to it because she's such a stronger female protagonist. So that's what I was drawn to.
Yeah, I was familiar with the what they call the classic version in the 50s. Couldn't compare much, especially because in that one, William Wyler chose not to even show Jesus, and this time, you know, it's a different story. And I also chose not to you know, just to let that film influence me much, because this was a different take, especially what concerns to the Jesus character. Actually, that I can apply that for everything else, all the references, because Jesus is probably the most portrayed character in, you know, in film and history and literature, paintings, you know, you name it. So I think the first thing I had to do was to try to erase all the preconceived ideas I had about him, stuff that I see, whatever. Just had to really focus in trying to get the essence to the heart, literally. To the heart of the character, which is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, start to work.
Yeah, because this year alone, we've seen so many incarnations of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ewan McGregor's take on it, Cliff Curtis's take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you bring, it's this humility that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, the idea was to make Jesus very relatable. Humanize him as much as possible. Bring him closer to the audiences, because I think that actually, in fact, was the message, was that everyone should be able to act like that. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's also bringing Jesus closer, trying to create sort of like a stronger connection when he appears on the screen and his presence, and that should be relatable, it should be human, it should be something close to you that you identify more than, oh, that's Jesus, and, you know, the music comes in, and then we know how divine he was. We know that. Now, how do you truly connect and, you know, make it relatable? That was our challenge.
How did you guys approach that? I mean, sort of pivoting off of what you were saying, of course, we know Jesus is so ubiquitous in all, you know, for everything from screen to Sunday schools. But you guys made it feel like two people in the scenes. How much of that was the script? How much of that was how you guys approached your characters? Because we knew you were Jesus, but when you two were, you know, interacting on screen, we didn't really know it was Jesus and Esther. It was just two people.
Yeah.
That's the idea. That's exactly the idea. Timur, our director, wanted to be that way. We worked hard with, you know, just little small things, details that would just ground those characters. And what you just said, it's actually probably the key for all the relationships, Judah as well. When Judah meets Jesus for the first time and Jesus helps him and feeds him water, Judah doesn't know that he's Jesus. There's no, we don't hear that. There is none of that. There is just a moment of kindness, an act of kindness from another man. So it is the most powerful way, because he's left with that feeling, with that, you know, conflict internal. And she's more, I think, you know, Esther is more, I don't know, she's ahead somehow in understanding and just closer to the, you know, his teachings. And in her heart, she was probably less lost than was Judah. But Judah carries that throughout the whole movie, through his journey, and until, you know, until the end, when you find redemption, forgiveness, and all that. And that transformation came to him through those encounters. But it wasn't like, it was just natural. It was an example. It was, I think that's the power of it.
I saw photos of you guys visiting Vatican last year,
yeah.
Right? I mean, was that part of the production plan to get their blessings?
Well, no, Roma was kind enough to invite us on our day off, and we went and then she planned an audience with the Pope, and the two of us stood in a line of about 100 people, and the Pope got to Rodrigo, and Rodrigo said in Spanish that he was playing Jesus in Ben-Hur, and hit the Pope's immediate, I kid you not, immediate reaction was to bless him. So I'm standing there with my iPhone, and I had no idea this was going to happen. It's not like Rodrigo says, so I'm going to say this, and then you take a picture, because the Pope's going to bless me.
Well,
we had no idea.
We didn't even expect him to come close to us.
No, we didn't expect
that
it.
Was not a promotion and marketing thing from Paramount. They did not call up the Pope and say, hey, you're coming.
So,
no,
yeah.
That
and
doesn't happen.
I posted the photo. I was so stunned by
that.
The moment. I posted it on Instagram, and the next day it went viral with the title, The Pope Blesses Jesus Christ. And so, which, you know, that would never happen. But it was surreal. And I'm really glad I got to witness it, because it was a really powerful moment.
Maybe that's why, as a Catholic school student, as soon as I saw your character, I knew who you were. It just automatically, there he is. There's a carpenter. I knew who he was.
Yeah, well, but also you see him, you know, he's talking about loving your enemies. He's talking about fear and all those things that make you slaves. But if you look closely, you'll see that the deliverer was very much aligned with his building a table. His building, it was a table. It all happened like, the scene wasn't written like building something, but it was something, oh, they meet him at the market and he's on his stand like a carpenter. That's the beginning of when Jesus came and he was working as a carpenter. To me, it was very important to know what it was building, number one, and actually to incorporate whatever I was saying, his teachings. But again, it was so, let's say, to use the language of today's world, he had a really fast connection with God, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay, he's getting like exclusive, quick, he's receiving it. Basically, he's receiving it.
Yeah.
You know, I joke, and it's not, you know, blasphemy or anything. I just think the most interesting thing about this film is to care about how people would respond. If we're talking about such important messages as Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that people, everybody knows. It doesn't matter what religion you are, if you are a religious person. But at the end of the day, we all know, we are aware of it. But how do you really connect to it? What can we do to make you feel, to make you think, to make you relate immediately? So that was our attempt.
Now, Ned, I want to ask you, have such an extensive television background.
Yeah.
And here you now go all the way back to General Hospital, mind you. I remember that. And here you jump into this massive undertaking of a film. What is the learning curve like for you as an actress with that transition?
I think I was fortunate, because I spent 2 years on Homeland, and Homeland is shot like a film. We were on location in South Africa, Cape Town, South Africa, for one season, and then North Carolina the season before that I did. And we shoot very much like it's as sort of high stress level as a film, if you will, and production value is great. So had I not done that, it would have been a tremendous challenge. But I think it's been a great trajectory for me, because I did go from TV to film, but I did bits and pieces of, you know, big studio films where I did smaller roles. So I had that experience, and then I did a few independent, bigger roles in independent films, and then the Homeland experience, and then this. So it was good warm up. yeah.
And how was the dynamic on set with the other actors, with Jack, with Toby? How was that?
It was great.
Yeah.
I only had scenes with Jack and Naz, so you know, we pretty much established a great friendship. It was very easy to get along. We had some time, you know, particularly, you know, me and Naz, we went to mass sometimes, we went to service, we went walk around, and just also we were in a very, very beautiful place, which is Matera, at the south of Italy, this beautiful city that would feed us just walking around, and it's very inspiring.
Yeah.
So
very biblical.
Yeah, very biblical in
very
a way.
Yeah.
The carved on, you know, stones, the city. I mean, the hotel I stayed was literally, I kid you not, I walked in and I'm like, this is not real. It was a cave.
It's carved out of a cave. Like the whole thing.
It was a cave on stone, like marble, white marble with candles. I'm like, this, what do you mean? This is the hotel, and then you go like a cave in my room, like my bed was down there, and I'm like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
This is not happening. It's, I mean,
windows
it's
only on one side because the cave back then.
I got no windows.
You know.
I had a cave with the door.
Yeah,
there was a little something coming from, but it was a cave with candles.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better.
Interesting.
Couldn't be better. For me, couldn't be better.
Not like a stone door that they...
No, it wasn't a stone door. It was... it was wood, heavy wood, but pretty much a cave, like what you can picture, like medieval...
Last question, guys.
It was kind of interesting. I only knew about the 59-1 chariot race, nothing else. So going in, the marketplace scene with you, I was like, that's not it. We see Jesus actually carpenting, which is something I don't think we really see in films.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually you don't.
Esther, her involvement with the zealots, that was, it almost seemed like they were kind of the proto-Christians, but they were really just trying to defend their home from the invading army. But she, like her involvement with the guy that was injured, I forgot.
Oh no, that's you're talking about Tirza, who's the sister.
I play
Esther, yeah. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, it was interesting that there was just sort of like all this other things going on. There was like it was very parallel to the Passion story, and like it was, that's not really a question, but how did you guys feel about that?
Well, I think that's the most interesting, you know, the approach for the film, and that comes from Timur, the director.
Yeah.
He wanted to have a very realistic tone for the movie, and the whole idea of the novel, The Tale of the Christ, is about a story about this family and Judah, this prince at that time, and that family during Christ's, you know, passage on earth. So that's not Christ is not the center of the story. You are having insights and seeing different angles, if you will, like different cameras at the same time. So you are getting like a sensation to be inside the story from a different angle, which are through the eyes of those characters. The zealots is something that I haven't seen much. I actually researched a lot about, there's the Jesus, the biblical figure, and there's the history. So more and more there are books, there are many, many books about, you know, in history books about Jesus and about...
Because this seemed to be more Jesus the man and less like...
The idea is to make him relatable. It is... Be very respectful to the Gospels, even the Scriptures, everything we're saying, it's the Scriptures, but also, how do you deliver it?
Yeah.
Am I saying, love your enemies, or am I like, da, 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 and just saying something that it's very true, it's what I believe, and that's what you should do, but also, you know, I'm a man, you're a man, and it's a different approach.
Yeah.
It's, in a way, it is, how can I say, it was a challenge to approach in that way, because people have so much expectation, and the image of Jesus is kind of crystallized already. So I think in the world we're living in right now, people will understand that, you know, that way of that approach.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I look more like a target than you.